you have to act quickly, but in order to act quickly, you have to be prepared. So you are making smart decisions right now, because decisions you're making right now could mean, you know, cash flow positive or cash flow negative come December.
This is Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, a podcast that explores why Montana leads the nation in entrepreneurship and business startups. I'm Arnie Sherman. It's mid-April 2020, and the macroeconomic shockwaves from the COVID-19 pandemic have disrupted businesses in Montana and around the world. Since March 14th, more than 22 million Americans have filed for unemployment benefits. At the same time, entire industries are facing uncertain futures, with certain sectors requiring massive government assistance. Today on Can Do Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, we're catching up with previous guests. What challenges do Montana entrepreneurs face in this current crisis? And how are they pivoting their strategies to respond to the rapidly shifting business ecosystem? My guests today are Walt Muralt, owner of Muralt's Travel Plaza in Missoula; Drake Dopke, owner of Sakatumi Sushi Restaurant in Missoula and Big Fork and the Mishi Ramen Bar in Missoula, Montana; Toby O'Rourke, president and CEO of Campgrounds of America in Billings, Montana. I'm grateful to all of them for taking the time to update our listeners during this period of uncertainty. We're talking with our guests by phone today. Production support for Can Do comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans, and from Blackfoot, providing communication solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com. Walt, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us in the midst of this pandemic.
You betcha.
You were on our show last year talking about all of your businesses, and I remember very vividly you mentioning the 2008 economic downturn and how tough that was for your operations. How does that compare to what you're experiencing now?
Well, from that lesson of the Great Recession there, I learned I don't want to be without dry powder again. And so I was actually positioned for the last couple of years. I've been thinking our economy is going pretty hot and heavy, just like it was in 2004, 2005, 6, 7, and all that. So I was ready for a downturn, had put myself in position to protect assets and that type of thing, meaning out of the stock market and that kind of thing, even though I was a little premature to the success in 19, I was ready for a downturn, but absolutely nothing like this. Who could predict anything like this? But it did leave me in a position to be a little more comfortable entering into something like this. But, you know, as we get busier here, because a lot of my businesses are seasonal, cyclical, based on the nicer weather in Montana, compared to last year, it's pretty drastic how much opportunity cost we're losing right now, but not losing actual funds to that level, but just comparative, it's significant.
So for our listeners, can you give me a little bit of an operational status update on your businesses at this point?
Operationally, Muralt's Travel Plaza on the west side of Missoula, Montana, that serves trucking community and tourists and locals and that type of thing, so gas, diesel, and then we have a Wheat Montana Bakery and Deli. Those are pretty much operating as normal, but just less business, less people coming into them. But actually, our gallons have been pretty solid. People are still moving, and trucks are still moving. And in fact, we're doing really well in the truck business. But we, Montana, we have reduced hours, and obviously people can't sit in there, so they do to-go. Our truck repair business is down significantly. Why that is, I'm not exactly sure. But we have a little bar and casino out here that we did close because we had to. They're starting on St. Paddy's Day. And then the Days Inn, Missoula Airport, has actually been holding on pretty decently because of people still traveling back and forth, and we're open, and they actually come in and thank us for being open. But we've made a lot of accommodations to minimize interactions. And then down at the Broadway Inn at the hotel there, we've been holding on decently well, too, on the hotel side. Obviously, all conferences have been canceled, and there's no parties or anything like that. And the Still Room Bar and Restaurant, we closed also on St. Paddy's Day. And other than doing a fundraiser for Missoula Aging Services and Meals on Wheels by giving half our proceeds to pizzas, we did that for a week just as a way to raise funds. That's pretty much the status. So we've laid off maybe 30 to 30 to 35 people total.
Have you looked into any of the Small Business Administration loans or programs that might be of assistance?
Absolutely. I mean, all our companies are strong. I'm strong going into this financially, but you never know what's coming down, how long it's going to last. So absolutely, I applied every business. We applied for the PPP loan, the Business Support Payroll Protection loan, have done all that process, and we'll be getting those funded here not too long, just as more of a cautionary thing than anything.
Talk to me about how the travel industry, you're relying on, you know, seasonal travel is, you know, what's your prediction of what summer is going to look like here in Montana, if you have one?
Oh, yeah, we've been talking about that internally, not real intentional, but realizing you just never know how these things are going to work out, right? But I guess thinking and forecasting how they are so you can be more nimble and maybe a way to take advantage of things. Like, for instance, our hump day help on every Wednesday, we do full service from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. We're really seeing that as a really an opportunity for us right now because people don't want to interact. So they can pull up. We handle their credit card with our gloves and swipe it, and they don't have to get out of the car and interact with us. We pump their gas. They get their service, and they don't have to touch anything. So that's really a real positive for us. But I'm thinking when the state and national governments open the doors, so to speak, of our homes and our businesses again, that it's going to be a slow titration of people out into life again, and they're going to have to shake loose of this germophobia kind of thing, and it's going to come back slowly. I don't even see us having a normal summer. The only thing to that could change, because we're very much depending upon the highway travel and tourists and people moving on the roadways, is that people may not jump right back into flying right away, is my feeling. And they're not going to go to Europe this year. They're going to go to Glacier National Park, Yellowstone. I think there's a chance that we have a significant uptick in business because of more regional tourism rather than international and national tourism, if you follow.
That makes a lot of sense, and I tend to agree with that. Missoula International Airport, on a typical day last year at this time, saw about 1,300 passengers leaving Missoula a day. They're down to 40 to 50 passengers a day.
40 to 50 passengers, period?
Period.
Oh, I had not seen that, but I would have guessed a couple hundred at least. Oh, my gosh.
They were down way under 100. A busy day is 70 passengers.
Yeah, I think when we come back, people are just going to be really reticent to be flying, and they're going to be fine being in their car with their family and going on some trips. So that could turn out to be really positive for us.
And I think you're absolutely right that this may be the summer where folks get in their RVs or their cars and visit the national parks and stay at campgrounds or, you know, spend time up at Flathead Lake for us here in Missoula. And that may be a boom to your operation, you know, as a critical juncture point for all of that activity.
Yeah, I can't see people electing to go to Manhattan or Chicago, or they're going to go to where there's less people. So both for traveling and tourism, and also just as a migration of people out of less congested areas, I think this is going to have ramifications going way down the road for years of people migrating out of the big cities and even more so into rural areas. And, you know, how do you work from home? We're learning completely new pathways, which allow people to get more comfortable with not going in office buildings and all that. And say, wow, this works. This can work this way. So I think that speaks well for our rural area in Montana.
Are you working more from home?
Not a whole lot has changed for me. I work from home when it works, and I go to my office when it works best. But I guess the need for me to be on site and through the businesses is definitely less, just because our activity is less. You know, some of the businesses are shuttered, so I'm in the businesses a lot less, I guess. So I'm working on the businesses rather than in the businesses,
right?
More, even more so now. And actually, it's been somewhat enjoyable to get some stuff done that we haven't been able to get done in the past because we've been so busy chasing our tails, taking care of all the business, you know?
As you think about the future, what kind of permanent changes do you think that this will engender?
Well, I think what I spoke about before, that's the only thing I've come up with, permanent change, is those two things. How people work is going to change, you know, that there's going to be more working from home or more working remotely. And then I do think that there's going to be a demographical change in where people desire to live. And could you imagine getting on the subway now and not just having your skin crawl? Even I'm not a germaphobe at all, and I think I would be like freaked out about that, even if they said, okay, you can go now, go out and about. Everybody's going to be way more sensitive about that kind of thing. So Western Montana is going to benefit from it. Seems like a no-brainer to me that that's going to be an outcome to this.
You mentioned, and we've talked about this in the past, that the lessons from 2008 downturn, and you know, you've put some of those into place, and they're serving you well now. What advice do you have to other folks who weren't in business in 2008? What advice do you have for them now as they're in the midst of this and trying to figure out what they ought to be doing?
Well, just never get yourself too leveraged up, and that was my major mistake back then. Things were just too hot, going too good, and I was way over leveraged, and not only didn't have cash, but didn't have access to borrow anything because I didn't have much equity in anything, right? I just bought a bunch of stuff and bought folks out. And so just to always have dry powder, because you never know. I mean, this is a great lesson that'll probably live on for anybody that's 25 or older, and especially if you're in business and have risk out there, that this lesson will reverberate throughout our country and our history to be more financially sound and stable and not just always living paycheck to paycheck, especially if you're in business. You got to be able to sustain, you know, a good 6 month or a year downturn and know what your cash reserves are, either and have them or know that you have access to them.
I think the single piece of advice that has reverberated through almost every discussion I've had since the pandemic with financial experts is conserve cash. You got to keep your business operational at whatever level you can. And you can't let it shut down. You have to be sensitive to your employees and keep key people on board.
Sure.
But you're still at the same point. If your business goes out, it doesn't do anybody any good.
No. And the other big thing about that, if you're a strong player and you're Warren Buffett in a downturned economy and the stock market goes from 25,000 on the Dow to 15,000, well, that 15,000 is pretty dang good time to buy, right? So that principle holds true for everything, right? Whether you're buying a home, a business, commercial real estate, anything, you should always do what you can to have dry powder to take advantage of situations, because if you can capitalize on those things and buy when it's low and sell when it's high, it's pretty basic. But to manage yourself and not get carried away with investing when times are hot is the real challenge, because I've been really tempted here just before all this to go do some other things. And I'm like, oh, wait a second, we got a pretty hot economy going on here. These aren't discount prices right now.
Right. But at the same time, it's always hard to know when the bottom is.
Well, you don't, right? But you do know. I counted back because I started, as a youngster, my parents taught me well, you know, put money in the bank. And I think I got my first mutual fund of equities when I was maybe 18, 17, I think, with work from summer and mowing lawns and stuff. And so I think, I haven't counted all of them, but I think this is either the fifth or sixth significant stock market correction in my lifetime. And so if people say that you can't time it, but you can in a way, right? You can feel it's coming over time. People buying a bunch of toys and people spending a ton of money on this and that and the other thing. And if you're in a city, there's cranes building high rises all over every city you go to. And you hear all these, like, I bought a house for $200,000 and now it's worth $400,000 in 4 years. Well, those are all indicators that it's pretty hot and there's going to be a correction. When that correction is, who knows exactly. But if you can get out at the top 10 or 15% and buy in the bottom 10 or 15%.
Well, I think you've alluded to, you know, one of the key elements of any sound investment strategy. You got to know when to hold them, right? To fold them and when to go all in. And you don't go all in very often.
As a timely ode to Kenny Rogers, who just passed away in the last month, I think that's a good way to state it.
Yep. Thank you for joining me today,
and absolutely.
We'll come back to you in the future to see how things are going, and we wish you well.
Well, and nobody knows everything, and I don't ever purport to know that either. We just make our best guesses as we go, and a lot of business is luck, and being in the game. You can't win if you're not in the game.
That's a good note to end on. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Arnie.
My next guest is Drake Dopke, owner of Sakatumi Sushi Restaurant in Missoula and Big Fork, and the Mishi Ramen Bar in Missoula, Montana. Drake, welcome to the show, and thank you for disrupting your pandemic routine to be with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So you have three restaurants, two in Missoula, Sakatumi and Mishi, and then a Sakatumi in Big Fork. What's the status of those restaurants as we're speaking?
They're open, but they're for takeout only. Curbside pickup at the moment.
And how is that business? I mean, is it where you thought it would be? Is it brisk? Is it sporadic?
Yeah, there's really no barometer for that because we've never just had that business. It is quite a bit less than obviously the dine-in customers, but it is something. It's worth doing is the point.
How do you provision manage during this time, not knowing how many people are going to call in on a particular day for ramen or sushi?
Yeah, in the beginning, it was definitely a big question mark. So we just kept it as lean as possible. Myself and the general manager have just been doing the shift work, honestly, with the help of a couple of kitchen guys as well. So we're just keeping it as lean as possible, but also staffed to the point that you can operate effectively as well. But yeah, skeleton crew for sure.
Have you been looking at or have you applied for any of the Small Business Administration loans or available financial support?
Yeah, so I applied for everything, and we did get approved for the payment protection plan that was available. I applied for the disaster loan directly to the SBA as soon as it became available. I have heard absolutely nothing from that. My guess is the SBA is just massively overwhelmed, and they're just not really able to satisfy that one currently. And everyone I've talked to says the same thing. They've got heard nothing back from that. So that's unfortunate. The banks are the ones that were participating with the payment protection plan. The banks took it onto themselves to issue the loans with the support of the SBA, and that got the ball rolling a little bit faster.
Well, the payroll protection plan loans were really targeted for smaller businesses. The EIDL loan that you're talking about, the larger loan, the larger business loan, a lot more people can apply for that, and I've heard as high as 70% of businesses in the U.S., small businesses, have applied for those loans. And so SBA, I'm sure, is inundated. No one knows when you're going to come out of this, but is there going to be a new normal for Sakatumi and Mishi at the end of this tunnel?
You know, we're just listening to, you know, what the CDC is saying, what the governor is saying, and just trying to be as conscientious as possible in the community for the health and safety. But also, yeah, I mean, we are thinking from a business perspective and how things are going to change going forward. Yeah, just staying in compliance and making sure that we feel that we're doing the right thing for the health and safety of the community, and then just planning going forward. I mean, new normal, I hope not. You know, I hope that things aren't just irreparably damaged at this point, but for the next couple of months at the very least, and probably for the rest of this year, it's going to be very hit and miss. As far as new normal, you know, I hope in a way that people are just more sanitary in general. I think that's a good policy to have.
I noticed in the early onset of the epidemic, when the restaurants were still open, many of them had already moved to, you know, many less tables in the restaurant, disposable menus, staff wearing, you know, latex gloves, cleaning up tables as soon as people left with sanitizer. I'm assuming you're saying that's going to be part of the new normal.
Yeah, I think that in general, hopefully that people are just more sanitary and clean in general going forward. I think that's smart policy, regardless if we're in the middle of a pandemic or not. I mean, we closed before the governor told us to close because it just seemed that it was the right thing to do. As far as the curbside pickup and things like that, I think it's actually better than a grocery store, honestly, because it's a lot less people that are coming in contact with the food. And as far as that's concerned, I think that's very much in line with where we need to be right now.
I'm assuming you've talked to other colleagues in the restaurant business. The restaurant business is one that is often characterized by lots of mom-and-pop operations, you know, small, you know, venues, particularly in a place like Montana. What do you think the effect is going to be in a town like Missoula at the end of this? Are we going to see a lot of our friendly local restaurants not emerge out of this?
Yeah, once again, you know, that's all a big question mark right now. I mean, what I would say to everyone who has a restaurant, regardless of it's big or small, is just kind of adapt or die. Whatever you can do, do it, as long as you're staying, you know, in the health and safety guidelines of the country. But yeah, whatever it takes right now to keep some cash flow coming in, to keep as much staff as you possibly can employed so your turnover rate isn't high. That would be my advice to anyone that is in this situation at this point, is do what you can. And if it means doing something that you're not used to or not comfortable with, do it. Give it a shot. What do you got to lose at this point? I do think that you're going to see closures, permanent closures. I heard nationwide we're expecting somewhere between like 10 to 15% of all restaurants closing permanently. And even when we do reopen, I don't think it's going to be reopening without restrictions. So it's not like the faucet's just going to be turned back on. So as much as you can do right now and going forward, keep your staffs lean, but also keep your people employed as much as possible, because you can't do it without them. Just try to get creative is what I would say.
I think that's really important in terms of planning for the future, because regardless of whether it's 3 months, 9 months, or a year from now, whenever you're coming out of this, there's going to be new customer concerns about packing people into restaurants. People are going to be very leery about being so close to other people for periods of time. And I'm sure you're taking a look at your square footage and how you lay out your restaurant so you can adapt and respond to what is very likely to be the status quo at the end of this.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Thank you for joining us today, and I look forward to your reopening. And thank you, Drake. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Production support for Can Do comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives. And from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And from Blackfoot, providing communication solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com. My next guest is Toby O'Rourke, President and CEO of Campgrounds of America in Billings, Montana. Toby, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on. It's nice to speak with you again.
Likewise. Are you attempting to run the KOA business from home, or are you going into work?
I am working at home. We shut our offices down on the 17th of March, and our whole staff in Billings has been working out of their home offices since then.
So for our listeners who aren't familiar with KOA, would you tell us what you are now managing from home?
We have 525 campgrounds as part of the KOA network. It's largely a franchise company. We own 32 of the campgrounds across the U.S. and Canada, and the rest are franchises. So the headquarters for Campgrounds of America has been in Billings since it was founded in 1962. So our staff here manages everything from the marketing to the franchise services to the general corporate governance of the company.
So how has COVID-19 pandemic affected your business?
Quite dramatically. All of the travel industry has been turned upside down by coronavirus, and camping's no different. Since early March, we've had over 100,000 cancellations. So that's been the big thing that we've been dealing with our franchisees over the past few weeks. So the bulk of those cancellations have been for March and April business. And all of our franchisees are small business owners, so they're facing cash flow issues and a lot of economic difficulties in dealing with those cancellations. On our company-owned properties, we've made a lot of operational changes in order to promote social distancing, for example, changing our check-in procedures or closing our recreation areas, for example, like the playgrounds and bathrooms, et cetera. But the main thing we've been focused on is to what capacity each campground in any given state can operate, because every stay-at-home order is different in what they determine is essential or not. So I've been doing a lot of lobbying to governors and governor's staff to try to keep campgrounds open and accessible, because there's a lot of full-time RVers out there that need a place to stay. With campgrounds closed, these people are displaced. And also, we serve traveling nurses, traveling medical and utility workers, various things that are very essential at this time. And we're just trying to make sure that people that need to be traveling at this time have a place to stay. So that's different in every state. And so we're just doing a lot of navigation through different state laws right now.
In general, are you getting a receptive ear in those different locales?
You know, I would say by and large across the country we are. People recognize that there are people that live in RVs and they're focused on people sheltering in place, and a lot of people need to shelter in place in their RV. So campgrounds serve a role for that. There are a couple of states that have been very difficult to make headway with. We're having some challenges. And then what we're finding in the past week is states that maybe had allowed the campground to stay open 2 weeks ago have now changed their mind and they're putting in more restrictions. So it changes quite frequently. And I think that's natural as every state is just trying to get their hands around this virus and what they're going to do to try to contain it. They're making changes to their essential services laws, and we just try to adapt with those.
You mentioned that around 500 of your campgrounds are small businesses. Are you helping them look at the SBA loans and the other available financial mechanisms to help them keep afloat?
Absolutely. That's another big part of what we're doing, is just providing guidance and training and service to our franchisees. So we have been doing a lot of education on, you know, what's coming out of the CARES Act and the PPP loans and the EIDL grants and various employment laws that have changed. So we make sure we keep our campgrounds abreast of those changes and then help them through the process of applying for that, those financial loans or those grants. And so we have people on staff that are focused on that. We're also doing webinars every day on a variety of topics that could be from things like understanding the legislation or marketing techniques or operational changes that they can make. We're bringing in experts from outside of our office to talk to different things as well. So we're trying to just provide as much education, templates, tools, hands-on help as we can to help everybody navigate through this.
Do you think there will be permanent changes to the American, North American way of engaging in travel and tourism?
It's hard to say permanent. I think definitely in the near term, there will be a lot of changes. I think when, you know, it's my opinion, once travel restrictions lift and people are able to resume some sense of normalcy, there will be a lot of hesitation on a lot of people's parts to go back to exactly the way it was before. And so I think it'll be a slow, gradual return to what we typically see with travel. We track camping very closely and with a lot of research, and it's been growing year over year, the enthusiasm and participation in camping. And I don't think that that's going to dampen. In fact, I think people are going to be wanting to be outside. Camping allows you a way to vacation close to home, and you're in the fresh air. And, you know, if you're in an RV or in a tent, you're in your own self-contained space that you own. And so I think that will actually resonate well with a lot of people who are looking to travel. So we're anticipating our business will fare very well once we can get past these initial shutdowns and people start getting out. But I think it's not going to come all at once. I think there's definitely going to be some hesitation, you know, which is probably appropriate on everybody's side, just to ease into this before we get back to the way we normally would engage in everyday life.
Well, there's some pecking order related to social distancing and making sure that you are sheltering appropriately as you come out of this. One would think that the cruise industry is probably one that's going to be most affected. Certainly airline travel is going to be affected. The airlines are already attempting to anticipate that. One would think that the camping experience provides as much protection if you are concerned about crowds and, you know, being in unfamiliar environments as any one of the options that are available. And I would probably agree with what you're hoping for, which is once things get back to some new normal, that people are going to say, I'm not going to go to Europe or fly to Europe this year, but I certainly want to go take a trip across Montana or Arizona.
Right, exactly. I agree. I think, you know, like I said, you have your own equipment. You don't have to go far from home. You could go on a road trip, but, you know, most in our research shows that 70% of people camp within 100 miles of home. So it's an easy way to get out. It's also an affordable vacation option. And right now, people are definitely financially strapped, and that's going to continue, you know, for a while. So people are going to be looking for more affordable vacation options, and so camping could provide that as well. So I think in a lot of ways, people will want to be outside naturally, and if they want to spend time with family and friends in the outdoors, camping is a great option for that for many reasons.
KOA as a company has been through some economic downturns, and you've been there for a while. Were you there when the 2008 downturn happened?
You know, I came to the company 9 years ago, so I came at the end of it, 2011, and that was when we were first starting coming out of the recession, and we've had year-over-year growth since then. So I haven't actually been at KOA during a downturn, but well-versed in our history. You know, we went through the gas crisis in the 80s, which were a significant impact on the business, and obviously have relived our history on the recession and been relooking at that in recent years. So KOA has proven to be very resilient. We're 58 years old. We've weathered through these downturns before, and you know, we're very confident we're going to do that again, but it takes a lot of reforecasting. That's currently what we're doing. We're reforecasting our business projections for the year every 2 weeks, understanding what the assumptions we know at that time, any new information we have, and then replanning for the year, and then using that as a decision-making tool. So, you know, things definitely do not look great at the moment based off our original projections for the year, but it's allowing us to make smart business decisions.
Toby, you're replanning every 2 weeks. Is that a normal procedure for KOA?
No, definitely not. Our fiscal year ends December 31st, so we're building our budgets in October with a goal to get those done by the end of December, and then we stick to that operating plan, you know, with our budgets around all of our business units for the full year. And sometimes we'll update that mid-year. You know, if we've had a really good year of business, we might reforecast out what our operating income is going to look like. But we haven't had to do anything beyond that, at least at my time at KOA. So moving to an every 2 week adjustment is a big change for us. But as an example, we updated our budgets a couple weeks ago, and it's showing an 85% reduction in our pre-tax profit for the year from our original plan in January. It's quite dramatic. So we're using that now as a baseline for us to make decisions on what cuts we need to make to the budget, what programs we need to adjust, and do we need to dip into our line of credit, for example, with our bank. So there's a lot of decisions that redoing that forecast is allowing us to make. And so we're now at the 2 week mark, and we're updating that again this week, and we'll have another picture of what we're going to work off of. Without having done that, I think you're just we'd be running blind. We wouldn't know the impact of the decisions we're making.
Every few weeks, something could happen. For example, gas prices are at a 12-year low or a 15-year low at this point?
Right. Yeah, and over these past few weeks, something's changing every day or two. There's been a change. So we just have our rolling list of assumptions. We're reevaluating those. Anything new that's changed in that, and then we're reforecasting our business. And we're having to make some tough decisions just like everybody is, and we'll continue to do that. We'll pull through this and do what we have to do to make sure the company does pull through.
So what advice do you have for business people in Montana who haven't been through a downturn like this? What should they be paying attention to? What ball should they be keeping their eye on?
Well, I think it's just exactly what I was saying. Is it's easy to plan and attack the short term, like what's happening right now, and adjust every day. And that's the mode, you know, we were in mid-March. Every day there was a change and we were adjusting, but quickly we realized that we had to look longer term. And so for us, for example, it's looking at when these stay-at-home orders are going to lift, when travel restrictions are going to change. It's understanding our day-to-day finances and how much our business is down, and then making some assumptions on how much is business going to be down in July, how much is business going to be down in April. I think the more any business can try to forecast the impact that this crisis is going to have, the better. And that keeps people prepared. And I think it's very short-sighted to think that there's just going to be a switch and we're going to say, okay, the country's reopened, Montana's reopened, we're back to business. You know, the tourists are going to come back immediately, or people are going to shop like they were before. I don't think that that's the case. You know, I think things are going to come in stages, and there's going to be different phases of this reopening, not only geographically across the country, but even within our own state. There's just going to be different levels of how we return to some semblance of normalcy. And so business is going to be impacted. So there's not a magic date when everything's just going to get back to normal. I don't think things will be back to normal all year. And you just have to plan for those different changes and build those into your budget. So you are making smart decisions right now, because decisions you're making right now could mean, you know, cash flow positive or cash flow negative come December. You know, I think it's really important to keep an eye on what's happening with the government and take advantage of the programs that are being put out there. That's what we're helping our campgrounds right now, making sure they're applying for the PPP loans. You have to act quickly, but in order to act quickly, you have to be prepared. And I think that would be my biggest piece of advice, is just be very diligent about being prepared.
Toby, you sound like you have your hand well on the throttle of your company and understanding kind of what's at stake and what may be in store, given the fact that we don't even know anymore what normal is and and what the new normal might be. Thanks for joining us today, and good luck, and you seem to have things well in hand.
Thanks, Arnie. We appreciate it.
I appreciate your listening to Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, produced by Peter Hoag and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guests' contact information and content from all our shows. Join us next time when our guest will be Dave McAvoy, owner of Missoula's Airy Backcountry Medicine. I'm Arnie Sherman, wishing you peace and prosperity.